Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Julian Assange, as you just heard, is arrested and denied bail in London. Should he be tried in the United States under the Espionage Act? Good morning again, everyone. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. The leaks from WikiLeaks just keep on coming, and about 6 hours ago, Assange was arrested in London for those sex-related crimes in Sweden, not for anything having to do with WikiLeaks, or so they say. And he vociferously pleads not guilty to any sex-related charges, and he's fighting extradition to Sweden. But in a Wall Street Journal op-ed today, Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein of California is calling for Assange to be put on trial in the United States under the 1917 Espionage Act for putting national security at risk with his WikiLeaks releases. Republican Congressman Peter King of Long Island agrees.
It's important to be indicted here in the United States, extradited from whatever country he's in to the United States, because his conduct to me clearly violates the U.S. Espionage Act. It's putting American lives at risk throughout the world. Clearly what he's done is wrong, and he has to be punished.
Congressman Peter King. On our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, we have a thoroughly unscientific poll question about this. Should Julian Assange be prosecuted in this country under the Espionage Act, which bans transmitting national security information that the person believes could injure the United States? You can answer yes, lock him up. He's an anti-U.S. warrior, knowingly putting national security at risk, or no, he's a truth teller, not a spy. Our latest thoroughly unscientific poll question on itsafreecountry.org. And we are joined now by New Yorker staff writer George Packer, author of books including The Assassin's Gate, America in Iraq, and Interesting Times, Writing from a Turbulent Decade, which came out last year. Hi, George. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Always good to be with you.
I guess you can start your next book, Writing from Another Turbulent Decade, do you think?
We are doomed to live in interesting times for the foreseeable future, maybe for the rest of our lives.
And before we even get to Assange's arrest, his latest document release may be the most controversial of all. It's a cable sent to Secretary of State Clinton last year, listing infrastructure sites around the world critical to the well-being of the United States. These include, and this list is from the Christian Science Monitor, I could have gotten from a lot of places, over 200 energy pipelines, undersea cables, strategic metal mines, vaccine suppliers, dams, ports, and power generators, along with the names of 35 companies spread across 59 nations. It says the cable sought to identify, quote, critical U.S. foreign dependencies that, if destroyed, disrupted, or exploited, would likely have an immediate and deleterious effect on the United States, unquote. So in your opinion, is this in a different category than most of the other leaks we've seen so far? Does this cross a new line from revelation about foreign affairs to gratuitous gift to terrorists, what critics are calling a terrorist to-do list?
I think so. I think so, Brian. The leaks have been fascinating. Every day, readers of The Times and The Guardian and other publications have been able to eavesdrop on conversations essentially between our diplomats and Hillary Clinton and the State Department in Washington. And it's just been an incredible view behind the scenes. I have some misgivings about eavesdropping, as one always should, but those have, you know, are much closer to news stories. Not all of them, to my mind, rise to that level. But this last one that you just mentioned, what is the news value of it? What public interest is being served? What scandal is being dug up? What, you know, major story that the public needs to know and that the government is wrongly keeping from the public is being uncovered here? I can't see it. And I think this is where newspaper editors who cannot be faulted, I don't think, for publishing the 1,000 or so cables that they published so far, really have to ask themselves, what purpose does this serve? And am I becoming simply the conduit for information that's being passed along by someone who has very different goals? Because I don't think WikiLeaks and news organizations have the same goals.
Listeners, do you think Julian Assange should be prosecuted under the Espionage Act here in the United States? They've got him in custody. They're going to try to extradite him to Sweden. What about extraditing him here if the U.S. charges him? 212-433-WNYC or anything else you want to say about this. 212-433-9692. Steve in Manhattan, a Julian Assange defender. Hi, Steve. Welcome to WNYC. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Brian. I feel that the facts are getting lost as I read the media. Julian Assange has released a number of cables, and the redactions were complete. Yes, the first round months ago may have had names, but he corrected that. And at this point, there are no lives being placed in danger. No one has been killed because of these. I think this is a witch hunt. This is hysteria. This is something that people can get behind to make them feel better. And I also understand that the rape charges that were originally dropped in Sweden and then reinstated are not about rape as we understand that term, but rather consensual sex that simply he did not use a condom. And to suggest that this is not political is a bit of a stretch, and I just wish that people would resort to the facts of the case instead of the hysterical witch hunt rhetoric.
The timing of his arrest is certainly suspicious on things that are quote-unquote unrelated, but what about the particular release that I was just talking about with George, which just seems to be this list that was sent in a cable to the Secretary of State last year of critical infrastructure to the United States around the world. Does that cross a different line for you, Steve?
Not at all, because I can go online right now and provide for you with regularly available information a similar list. I can just off the top of my head tell you five critical places that if I wanted to harm the U.S., I could attack. I don't think this provides any information that anybody doesn't know. What it does do is open up and illuminate a lot of the underside of our political life that happens in our name but without our knowledge or necessarily without our consent. And I think that what he's done as a whistleblower has done far more for the cause of democracy than has done harm.
Steve, thank you very much. George Packer, do you want to react to any of that?
Yeah, I do. First of all, the caller doesn't know anything more about the Swedish case than any of the rest of us. So if he's going to insist on sticking to the facts of the case, then he really shouldn't have an opinion about what charges Julian Assange faces in Sweden and what the details of those
are. Are they not? And I admit that I am not up on that. But do you know? Is it about failure to use a condom or something else specific?
I know what I've read in the news, and what I've read in the news is that it was consensual until he refused to use a condom, and then it ceased to be consensual, which could easily be defined as sexual assault or rape. But we don't know is the point. Mm-hmm. And the caller shouldn't be acquitting Julian Assange before we know the first thing about this case, and that suggests that the caller has an agenda of defending Assange really without knowing all that much about where the charges lie. I guess the larger question is a difficult one. I think, you know, there's a real news value in much of what WikiLeaks has released. I would say the Apache attack in Baghdad, which was the first WikiLeaks leak earlier in the year, was unquestionably a news story. I would say WikiLeaks packaged it in such a tendentious way that it showed that it is not a news organization, but the story itself had an unquestioned interest for the public. Does a list of key infrastructure sites, which the U.S. government estimates to be, you know, its critical ones, which, yeah, of course, we could all say the Brooklyn Bridge is an important target, but that doesn't mean that any of us could put together that same list and that it would have the same value as if the U.S. government itself put it together. I guess the biggest question is this. Do we have a right to know everything about our government? If we could get a live feed from Hillary Clinton's office or from the Situation Room that would report to us on a real-time basis everything that's being discussed by our top officials about foreign affairs and national security, do we have a right, because it's a government that operates with the consent of the governed, to hear it? And I would say no, we don't. I think a level of confidentiality is just a must for any serious professional organization, from a news radio program to a news magazine to a law firm to to a government office. And simply because they're government officials doesn't mean that they simply surrender all confidentiality to whoever can hack into their system. And that also gets to what is different between WikiLeaks and the New York Times, for example. Julian Assange told the Guardian website that if his organization is prosecuted, he will release all 250,000 cables. That shows that he has an agenda that is not the same as the New York Times, because the New York Times would never make a threat like that to ward off a prosecution, and that he is careless of the effects of these releases, as he was in the Afghanistan data dump, where the names of interpreters and others working with the U.S. government were released, and the Taliban began to compile a list of them, saying that they were going to start killing them.
I was going to raise that latest development as well. In fact, Matt in Rockland County wanted to weigh in on that, too. So, Matt, you're up. Hi.
Hey. Yeah, like you guys said, because he threatened to release all those documents, I think that they should charge him with blackmail. Forget the Espionage Act. Just charge him with blackmail.
And for people – thank you, Matt. For people who don't know what this is, he basically threatened to release more documents, what he called poison pill documents, right, George? If he was arrested, and was it that clear? Was it if you arrest me? Because I don't have a direct quote. I haven't found a direct quote from him on this. Do you know what he actually did?
I don't have a direct quote either, but the Times paraphrased the Guardian web chat with Assange saying, essentially, if we are prosecuted, we will release the key to all of it. Apparently, 100,000 people around the world have access to these documents once he releases the key to unlocking the encrypted code, which is, again, something no news organization would do, to distribute 100,000 copies to people who are not part of the organization. And if WikiLeaks is prosecuted, he implied that they would release these documents. By the way, Brian, I don't think he should be prosecuted.
Oh, really?
I don't, because the Espionage Act was a really dubious law passed by, rammed through Congress by Woodrow Wilson during World War I. Eugene Debs spent time in jail under the Espionage Act. It's as tainted as the old Alien and Sedition Act under John Adams. It is a wartime measure that was used for essentially to silence political opponents. And I don't know that anyone has ever been prosecuted successfully as a third-party recipient of a leak. And that's what WikiLeaks is. They didn't hack into the government data system in order to get this stuff. They received it from a low-ranking intelligence officer. So I think it would just be a carnival that would fail, that he would not be convicted, and that would make the government look as if it was, pursuing a vendetta, which I think that he should not – I think it would be a mistake to dredge up a really kind of rancid old law from 1917 to prosecute Julian Assange.
Alex in Park Slope, you're on WNYC. Hi, Alex.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. What's up?
I think it's I'm having trouble with what I keep hearing from a lot of places. I saw Rafi Khachaturian at the New Yorker do it as well. I feel like people keep trying to look at WikiLeaks through sort of a 20th century media lens, and talk about whether they're a news organization. And I don't think that. It's helpful to look at WikiLeaks that way. I think Julian Assange has been pretty explicit in saying that he wants to affect American foreign policy, and especially if you look at the Apache attack footage, he didn't package, and the footage itself may have been newsworthy, but he didn't package it as a news story. He packaged it as an editorial called Collateral Murder, and had a very explicit editorial hand in that. The other thing I think is strange about going after Assange is that, if we know anything about the internet, catching him at this point isn't going to do anything. Somebody else will fill his role and be able to do, or continue doing what he's done, I think.
I get your new media points. Do you think, though, that Assange has crossed a line from, the transparency geek in a way to, the truly malicious and weird in the last few days with these couple of things?
Well,
this release of critical infrastructure, just because it's a release of critical infrastructure, or this threat to release more documents to more people if he's prosecuted.
Yeah, I think that's the line that probably he doesn't see, or that I feel is misplaced, that line doesn't really apply, because I don't think he's just a transparency geek. If he was a transparency geek, you know, he would have released the Apache footage without naming it collateral murder, without editing it down, you know, to show what he wanted to show.
Right, he's got opinions.
I think he puts that he has a very, you know, heavy hand in how he frames these things, and I think he probably doesn't see that line.
Alex, thank you for your call.
Brian, could I add something to that?
George Packer,
ahead. I agree with Alex that he is he has a different agenda, and that the collateral murder video showed that propaganda more than objective release of facts and news is his mode. But he sees himself in different ways. I mean, he just published a piece in an Australian newspaper, I think just yesterday, in which he said democratic societies need a strong media, and WikiLeaks is part of that media. The media helps keep government honest. WikiLeaks has revealed some hard truths about the Iraq and Afghan wars, et cetera. That sounds like any newspaper reporter talking. So he has an idea of himself as being a part of this larger world of media. At other times, he gives interviews saying, "I like crushing bastards," which is not something I can imagine a New York Times reporter saying on the record. So he may not quite know what he is, and we may not quite know what he is, because it's true, this is something new in the world. We haven't seen anything quite like this in the history of modern news reporting.
You know, Paul Miller on Foreign Policy's website writes, "The Obama administration should, in addition to prosecuting Assange for espionage, seek to replace the Espionage Act with a Secrecy Act that is more usable." You were talking about the difficulty of winning a conviction under that archaic and overreaching law. This says many but not all sections of the Espionage Act require demonstrating an intent to harm the United States. Demonstrating intent is virtually impossible and shouldn't be required anyway. This says the damage to U.S. national security is the same regardless of the source or motivation of the leak. A generic Secrecy Act should define as a crime the leaking and publishing of classified information regardless of that of intent.
Wow. That would be so sweeping that the revelation about the National Security Agency's electronic eavesdropping would be prosecutable. Certainly the Pentagon Papers would have been. A lot of what news organizations do on a daily basis suddenly would become illegal. So that's a pretty dangerous precedent to be set. That's why, as much as I dislike Julian Assange and his methods and goals, to prosecute him is to open the door to I think a dangerous level of witch hunting of mainstream, you know, legitimate
right.
media.
Right. Also, the prosecution of the release of the Pentagon Papers from many years ago was prior to the release, so they are actually trying to prevent something from coming to public light. So that's a legal difference. And
yes.
Also, Paul Miller's paragraph that I just read, it lumps the leaker and the news organization together. So if a generic Secrecy Act, as he put it, should define as a crime the leaking and publishing of classified information, regardless of intent, then private Bradley Manning, who presumably released a lot of this stuff because he was, you know, an Army private stationed in Iraq, and the New York Times, which might choose from among the things he leaked what to publish, would be seen in the same light.
Exactly, and that's, to me, that's just a frightening precedent. But you mentioned the Pentagon Papers. That's among the many analogies that Assange has come up for himself is that of Daniel Ellsberg, who leaked the Pentagon Papers to the New York Times. Ellsberg withheld some chapters of those papers, which dealt with ongoing peace negotiations with the North Vietnamese, because he didn't want to derail them. It's hard to imagine Assange making a judgment like that, making a distinction like that. So even the comparison to Ellsberg, who, you know, was a notorious enemy in the eyes of Richard Nixon, an enemy of the state, was more discriminating and had a sense of what was the story here. The story was how the U.S. government lied us into Vietnam. Not every day and every document that he could get his hands on about that war. And that is what disturbs me about this WikiLeaks dump, that it's close to having a sort of live feed out of various embassies and U.S. government offices, and I just don't think we have a right to that.
Matt on our website writes, in my opinion, something like WikiLeaks was necessitated by the lack of bite in the press during the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. To put it bluntly, truth will out. Do you think that there could be different justifications sort of for different governments at different times, if you know what I mean?
I'd rather try to establish a principle that holds for all governments at all times, because otherwise it's all about, well, how do you like George Bush? How do you like Barack Obama?
Or
someone
different...
could easily say, this is a justified punishment of Barack Obama for being so soft on Iran,
right.
Trying to engage with the murderous regime of Ahmadinejad.
Or maybe more to his point, I should have said, for different levels of having a pussycat press corps.
We all know about the failings of the press before the invasion of Iraq. I think the press in Iraq did a fair amount to redeem itself from those pre-war failings. But again, these are justifications. They're even excuses. They're not real arguments for why this or that is or is not legitimate. I'm not sure it's not easy to say about everything that we've seen from WikiLeaks, whether it's a legitimate news story or not. That's a pretty difficult judgment to make. I'm just saying this is a precedent that worries me, because we're moving to the realm of everything is now open. And I just don't think governments, any more than any other organizations, including WNYC and The New Yorker, can function if everything is out in the open.
George Packer from The New Yorker. One more thing before you go, and then we're going to go on to the Zadroga Act, now one Senate Republican short of passage. Should 9/11 first responders get another $7 billion worth of health benefits? And why has this been so hard in Congress? And then we'll have the CEO of Weight Watchers to explain their new point system for food. You think WikiLeaks is controversial? You should see the Weight Watchers website, including the guilt-free banana. So get ready to recalculate your diets for the Christmas eating season coming up. But on the content of WikiLeaks, we've been talking a lot on the show, and the Times and a lot of news organizations have been writing about, you know, the details of many of the leaks pertaining to the U.S. relationship with many countries. Taken as a whole, does it show the U.S. as the empire, as the world government? You know, we're faking engagement with Iran to give cover to the Arab states in Europe to get on board for sanctions. We're getting Yemen to lie about the U.S. carrying out assassinations in their country. We're threatening Albania and Slovenia if they don't accept Guantanamo detainees. We're musing about whether to help keep Musharraf in power in Pakistan and whether it's a good time for elections in this country or that. The U.S. runs the world, if with limitations, according to these cables.
No, I completely disagree, Brian. I agree with our friend Fred Kaplan of Slate, who wrote that this shows the U.S. acting like a power among other powers, trying its best to secure its national interests through, you know, negotiation, through sweeteners, through threats, through all the things that states have always used to try to secure their interests. In fact, what it really shows is how hard it is for the U.S. to get anything done in the world. I mean, look at today's paper. Today's Times has a story about how we tried to get Syria to stop sending weapons to Hezbollah. We told Syria, we know you're doing it. Syria said, no, we're not. And they kept doing it. And there's nothing we could do about it.
Right.
We can't get the French to hold up the sale of an amphibious ship to the Russians. It should. We can't get the Pakistanis to secure their nuclear material. We can't get Afghanistan to stop being corrupted. To me, it shows how hard it is for the U.S. to even get foreign countries with whom we have relationships and over whom we ought to have some leverage to do the first thing that we think is in our interest.
Well, even the Roman Empire was not omnipotent,
but exactly.
A conversation that can continue on another occasion. George Packer from The New Yorker, his most recent book from last year, Interesting Times, Writing from a Turbulent Decade. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. As I said, we'll talk about the Zadroga Act and the new Weight Watchers point system. So stay with us. And remember, you can weigh in on whether you think Julian Assange should be prosecuted under the Espionage Act. We have that poll question, thoroughly unscientific poll question, I should add, on our politics website. It's a free country.org.